25 of Drunk on Comics, starting now.
Hello, and welcome once again to Drunk on Comics. Matt, what are you doing?
Opening beer.
Wow, that sounded horrible.
Thirsty.
Yeah.
Thirsty.
The sound effect just didn't work very
Today's
well.
Today's episode is brought to you by the number one and the letter M.
What and why?
Like Sesame Street.
Well, number one, I get it, because there's lots of number ones.
And the letter M, because it's Marvel.
Mm. Yeah. I was gonna say C, but then, well, the only word I can think of is C. So
is there an objective with the letter M today?
Use the letter M in a sentence. There you go.
Yeah. All right, guys, this is our podcast about comic books, conventions, all their nerdly little nuggets of fun. We're gonna sit around. We're going to have a little fun. My name's Derek. With me, once again, we have the Fearsome Foursome. Is the best name I could come up with for us.
Foursome with you?
Or the...
I think we're a group of four, but not so much a foursome.
Well, right. Well, and I was trying to think, and any listeners, I think that we should put a challenge out there to anybody that can come up with a good name for us.
Yes.
You know, like maybe the...
We're drunk on comics?
Well, no, but like for us is like, you know, we are drunk on comics, but, you know, the Fearsome Foursome, because you can't do Fantastic Four. Somebody already took that.
Like the Ruckus, yeah. The Ruckus Rhombus?
Yes. Well, some guy took that, like back in the
60s. Yeah. What a great guy. but no, I was like thinking, I'm like the quad something, but I can't come up with
anything. Quad City DJs? Gotta ride this train.
Oh, shit. All right.
You open up that door. Hey, today we have all four of us.
Yes.
Derek, Tony, Matt, and Kevin.
It's good to be back.
Nice to have everybody back. We're going to kick it off with Off the Shelf, which is our little segment where we talk about comic books that, for the most part, have come out this week.
Hey, shut the hell up. Okay, so...
Kevin's going first.
All right. I come back and I go to the store and I don't keep up with things as much as you guys do. It's clearly obvious for anyone who's listened to this podcast in the past. So I go up to my shitty little comic book store around the corner from me and I pick up Marvel Zombies Destroy.
Okay. Before we get into this, Couple words of warning. So if anybody didn't read any of the books from this week, we're going to spoil them. And if perhaps...
We're going to spoil it like zombie flesh rotting in Central Park.
I don't think I'm really spoiling anything because it's in the title, Marvel Destroys Zombies.
Well, yeah and you're not spoiling anything because that book came out in July.
Yeah.
But so there's your warning. If you guys don't like spoilers, please hit pause, go read your books, then come back. We have a new sponsor starting this week. Intercomics.com. It's actually inter-comics.com. They are your source for all your comic book needs, subscriptions, all that great fun stuff. They got back issues. Go check them out. And they are a England-based shop. But however, if you don't live in the UK, don't worry. They ship worldwide. So inter-comics.com. Go check them out. Find them on Twitter as well. Tony's playing with a Mr. Sinister action figure.
Does he do anything cool? Like does his chest
he came with a monster arm.
Yeah,
and this thing comes off.
Wait, so he came with attachments?
Yeah,
yeah. His cape is the attachment.
My favorite one of those type of action figures was the Juggernaut, and he came with a hammer.
Well,
was it the light up hammer?
Wait, I think
it was like a light up hammer, and I didn't quite understand because why isn't like
it was, had the ruby crystal?
It's foreshadowing for the Fear Itself comics.
Way back then.
Yeah.
That's Bendis probably planted that in the toy line before Bendis was actually writing.
Or maybe Bendis was playing with that action figure and went, I got an idea. So, all right, Kevin, kick us off with Off the Shelf.
All right. Old Off the Shelf? Is this, okay, so...
It came off of a shelf.
Yeah, so I just went to the comic book store. I'm like, hey, this is new to me.
Found the dustiest new comic you can find.
Which all the more just puts emphasis on what a shitty comic book store this place is. Because this was top of the rack. It wasn't like I had to dig through like 8 issues to get to it. No, this was right there. And I'm thinking like, you know how like they put like the newest comic in front and then several issues behind it of a similar No, there was, like, Archie behind this one.
That should have told you something.
So, I don't know what was behind it. But I picked this up because I've heard a lot of talk about Marvel Zombies and how great series this is. And the whole idea about Marvel Zombies has been out for, well, 5+ years? Or maybe even longer?
Yeah, I think somewhere in that range. Yeah,
so I picked this one up, done by Frank Marafino. That's the writer. Artist is Mirko Pierdeficini.
Did you purposely pick the comic with the hardest names to say?
It's my criteria, yeah.
Okay.
And Gary Henderson.
Oh.
See the last
colors.
For colors. Okay. So this is, I didn't even notice this until after I got home and started reading this, that actually has a Howard the Duck in it. And is he in anything?
He's in this.
He showed up in, was it Deadpool?
He showed up in Wolverine and the X-Men when they did the whole issue about the blob guy.
Yeah, but he's been doing a lot more of this.
Dupe.
Yeah.
It was Dupe. And they did show him killed in Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
Well, in this issue, Howard the Duck is recruiting this guy. He looks like an old-timey, like, drunken boxer.
Is it Dum Dum Dugan?
Maybe. It is Dum Dum Dugan.
Okay. Oh, hey! Kevin reads his comic books on the air.
Howard the Duck says, "What? Did you hear a word I said?"
Turn the page, kids.
Gotta have that magical sound to get them to turn the page.
Wait, was that Reading Rainbow?
I think it was almost anything.
If we had GoToMeeting, then I could just do like they do in class, hold out the page and then show everyone.
Does anybody really want to look at us while we're doing this?
All right, Kevin, give us your review. All
right. So, good art, and it does what it needs to do. Give me a lot of great things to keep me wanting to go back to it. Zombies, Nazis, time travel.
Time travel, like going back to July to pick up your comics. Yeah,
exactly. and this is the first issue where I don't really expect too much out of it, but they're already killing off a lot of the what's supposed to be, like, I think this is the main characters, but it's just like the initial team. And it sets up real nicely for this limited series. This is number 1 of 5.
That's kind of gory for you, though. But is it okay because it's zombies?
Is it okay because it has an anthropomorphic duck?
Yes. To all the above.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's got me wanting to pick up some issues whenever the next one comes out.
I actually read this when it did come out, so the next couple are also well.
Okay, well, great. Well,
well written is what he was trying to say when he was putting popcorn in his mouth.
Oh, no, well, I'm okay with the general... It's well.
It's well. All right. I give it a well.
Yeah.
It's like a well whiskey. You know? It gets the job done, right?
Exactly. That's a great one. It's like a well whiskey. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got your...
Derek, you're up next.
Yeah. All right. So this week I picked up a book that was brand new on Wednesday. and I picked up All New X-Men number 1 from Marvel.
Another number 1?
Yeah, I know. From
Another
Marvel.
All new?
Like, those never happen. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils by Stuart Immonen, and inks by Wade Von Grawbadger.
That is an awesome name.
I want my last name to be Von Grawbadger, because that's way the fuck better than Honey Badger. I don't give a shit.
What was your porn name supposed to be?
Oh, my porn name was... Sterling St. Magnus.
Sterling St. Magnus.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right so I'll give you guys a little background on this if you haven't read it and you like your spoilers. Kind of in the wake of AVX, there's mutants popping up all over the place, and everybody's still pissed that they never saw how big of a douchebag Scott's been for the last few years. So Cyclops, being the poster boy for Scott Summers Eve, Get it? That's fucking comedy gold right there. I don't give a shit.
Oh, that pun even makes my head hurt.
Fool's gold.
So So Cyclops is running around with Magneto, Emma, and Magic right now, trying to scoop up all the new mutants that they can find to get them to join up with his group and on his side of the fight. Also, Beast is apparently dying from another mutation. I don't know when the fuck that started, but okay. So
Cyclops, started now.
Yeah, now. Cyclops, or Beast, goes back in time to enlist the help of the original X-Men to
come.
How
did you do that?
It really doesn't say.
I was flipping through it, and I was like, wait, I see Beast on this panel in the present, and now I'll summon him in the past, and usually it tells me the past in, like, a little corner, and I didn't catch any of that.
No, no, it's not there. So
maybe it was...
But maybe it's just to keep you going, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it tells you more with the AR symbol in the corner, and you gotta use the app.
Well, the cool thing about the AR on that one... is when you look at it, it shows basically the same scene from the original comic back in the day. So it's like he's going back to this specific time.
And that they had this...
So they really did have that fight in the past issue?
More or less, yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
That doesn't seem like the Beast that...
Well,
obviously I didn't read
They're arguing. I mean, it's not fighting, but yeah, they're having that argument. So it's kind of cool to see that. You know, all in all, I actually thought this was really good writing, and granted, yeah, he didn't say exactly how Beast went back, but Matt and I were talking about this earlier. I think that sometimes Bendis gets a little bit too caught up on details and over-explains, whereas this time, you know, it doesn't really matter how he went back in time.
Well, and there's more issues, so maybe the next issue is when they'll explain that.
Maybe.
You know?
Well, there's in the back, when he goes back and meets the team, it's great because Beast is back there, and I think it was Scott, he's like, "Who are you?" And old Beast goes, "He's me." And new Beast goes, "Yes, I am." And then they move right on. He recognizes it. Don't need to dwell on it. Boom.
Well, he did explain, though, too, that you have broken, you know, the time, you know.
Time stream?
Time stream that it's got to be dire. So
yeah,
what's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like Back to the Future. You know, don't talk to your old self.
However, I did like that normal future Beast, present day Beast, whatever you'd call him.
Just call him Blue Beast.
Yeah, Blue Beast. Yeah. The Beast Beast. Kind of already foreshadowed what might happen if they send this team back into the past, back to where they came from, to not break the time stream, which is, Professor X, don't let him know, because then he'll wipe our minds in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to kind of be a fucking lame cop-out if that's how it happens.
It's great, though, because that way you don't have to re-explain why in the old comics they don't know about the future.
Well, because, but they've already explained it in Marvel with the multi-universe. The moment you go back in time, you create an entire different timeline along them. So our present-day 616 Marvel Universe has always had that. You bring someone else into it, it doesn't break our past at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a different future for that timeline, which is a place without...
Yeah.
So I don't even see it breaking spectrum of
but
time
I bet,
travel.
What if it's Jean Grey that wipes everyone's minds out? What?
Mind blown. I mean, but the great thing about it is, though, as far as we know, the 616 that we hold strong and true, it already happened.
Mm-hmm.
They went back, somebody already wiped their minds. So cool. You know, I do want to say I love the art, but I mean, I'm a big fan of Stuart Immonen, so I really liked that. The one thing that I'm glad to know is that this is not going to be a long-running book. This is actually going, from at least from what I've read, morphing into the new Uncanny... Well, it's not going to be new, but it's going to be Uncanny X-Men Volume 3.
It's not going to be all new, Uncanny...
Well, no, because every...
like a whole bunch of adjectives.
No, because every time you say all new or new, it's like taking a young rapper and putting Lil in front of his name. You know, it just... oh, look, you have a short career span set for you. You know? One of the things I have about this, though, is, like, Beast dying with his secondary mutations, I think I figured out what the problem is. It's all the different artists that draw him however the fuck they feel like. I don't know if you guys read Wolverine and the X-Men this week. Anybody?
I picked it up. I haven't got a chance to it yet.
Wolverine and the X-Men this week, I'm gonna rifle through and find it. Go look at Beast. He looks like a fucking dog. In this. I mean, he's got a huge dog chin. He actually only has three fingers and one thumb.
Look at it.
I mean, it's
oh, God.
So, oh, I think maybe if all the artists can get on board and just draw him one way, rather than sometimes like a cat, sometimes like a dog, and maybe just draw him like Beast, maybe he'll quit mutating. So, That's my thing. I mean, I don't really care for the blue wolfhound with three fingers and a thumb. But anyway, this book, while I think All New X-Men is kind of a stupid title, I really did like the book. I'm giving it 2 full mugs up.
I like the new mutant, too, that they debuted, who also has time adversing effects. I wonder how that's going to play into the time travel.
Yeah, where she can stop time in, like, how many days or whatever? It was like a month or whatever. She's had him frozen in time.
20 hours.
Yeah, so you're way off.
Whatever.
20 hours when you're drunk, man, it feels like 6 days.
So. Spend 20 hours with my ex-girlfriend. It'll feel like a lifetime. So. All right, so that's it for me. Who's up next?
I also have a number one from Marvel.
What?
Thor, God of Thunder.
Oh, dude, you're bending over your back page.
Am I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to resell this one in the future. I'm just going to read it. Let my kids read it someday.
Well, there you go. All
right. So I did Thor, God of Thunder. And this story by Jason Aaron, art by...
Eseb Ribic. Which... Great thing for Marvel AR. We were looking at this earlier. Found out how to say his name.
How is it?
Eseb Ribic.
Right.
Close enough.
Okay, cool. Hey, man. You good art. this story is taken, you know, doesn't really follow where it is in the whole context of Thor's story. It's a Thor single, so it could happen pretty much whenever. But it takes place in 3 different time periods. Once, long ago in Iceland. Present day, Thor out in the cosmos, not on Earth, but out traveling the cosmic world. And then somewhere in the future, a couple millennium from now. And it's, as a number one issue, it's got me really intrigued. Not a whole lot that can give away as spoilers, because mostly this just gives you cliffhangers and questions that you want to be... Yeah, that you want to be answered. And so I'm really intrigued. I know that this first story arc is going to be 5 issues long. I plan on staying on board for at least the first 5, and we'll see where we go from there. But really, I'm just enjoying the fact that you got a younger Thor being kind of all cocky and like, hey, let's go drink some. I kill the frost giant. Give me your ale and your women.
Yeah, and he bangs half the town, apparently.
Yep. And then you get him in present day, and these some aliens are asking for a miracle, and one little alien girl prays to Thor, and because she heard that Thor is like the coolest, and so Thor shows up with some rain. He's like, man, I'm a god. I should answer some prayers. That's cool.
He was going
to
leave.
He was about to leave, and then they said, we have ale. And he goes, sweet, I'll stay up for ale. So cheers to Thor for drinking.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm a little bit pissed about, they didn't offer any whores up.
No, they didn't, but they're kind of alien.
They're kind of weird looking.
Maybe
they're just giving them handies.
Yeah. All right. And finally,
mouth bugs.
You bring them to the distant future, and it looks like it's Odin sitting on the throne, but really quickly he says that, I am Thor, Odin's son, king of a broken Asgard, last of all the gods. And you're like, what? How'd all the gods die? And he's yelling out, bring me my arm, because apparently he lost his arm. And he's got an eye patch. So since this is happening in the future, it might be that Cable becomes Thor in the future.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that there's some merit to that theory. But
eye patch.
Yeah. Anyways, and it ends, but the last page, full page spread of Thor just attacking this army of, I believe he called them hounds.
Hellhounds, maybe.
Hellhounds from some immortal being called...
Something Butcher.
Gore, the God Butcher.
Yes.
The God Butcher. And it just makes me go, we got these cool, epic names. We got this cool, epic story. It's starting in mystery. I'm giving it a whole village full of ale.
Nice.
So pick it up.
Is it a journey into mystery?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now, Loki hasn't appeared yet. So.
I gotta say... I'm not a fan of Thor, and part of the reasons is...
Thor's not a fan of you.
Well, that's because I don't pray to him, and I don't have a vagina. You're bending your back corner again.
Jeez.
but I read this, I bought it because I heard so much about it. It's a good book even for people who don't like Thor books. So
yeah. So pick it up, have a read, and like I said, I'm intrigued for at least this first story arc. Of where it's going. Probably after this, they'll start over at number one again. So we could pick it up then again.
Yeah. Right. Everything's now a single story arc and volume.
Yeah.
Just, whoop, start over.
All right. Tony, what do you got?
Well, besides the many number ones that I did pick up, I'm going to do a number 14 today.
Hmm? Oh, that must be DC.
There's a number one in that, you know, one and four.
Shut up.
So one.
There's there's actually 14 ones in that.
Or a bunch of 0101 binary code.
We'll get to that.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Anyways, I picked up Suicide Squad number 14. The reason why I picked it up is because it's part of Death of the Family story arc, and it's got the cool
diecast cover.
Yeah, cover, yeah. Which I've been picking up many of the issues that have that. And obviously, you flip over the Joker's face, and Harley Quinn's in it.
Yay.
This starts off with a guy named Deadshot's funeral, and I guess Harley Quinn and him were dating. At the burial.
Oh, they're banging at the funeral itself.
Yes, he's dead in a coffin. And anyways,
so he's getting plowed under while Harley's getting plowed.
Yeah, except for none
of
that.
Did he get bit by a banana snake? Because I heard those give you like erections after you're dead. Fact check that one, people. Fact check it.
I don't know, but it gave me an erection just thinking about it.
Moving along.
So while they're burying this guy, poison rain starts falling down, knocking everyone on the Suicide Squad out. But Harley isn't affected because she's kind of built up an immunity to the knockout gas of the Joker.
Dread Pirate Roberts?
Is it iodine powder?
And you, just this one spot in here when he's just like, honey, I'm home. He being the Joker, not dead shot.
This isn't visual at home, Tony.
No, let's talk about this guy right here. Anyways,
Tony reads his comics on the air. So the Joker shows up all creepy going, honey, I'm home.
I just said that. Anyways, he's very fucking sadistic, more so than I even remember him going through this whole Death of the Family story arc. He pretty much takes Harley down. He's pissed off that she's kind of having a good life. He puts the blade into her mouth to cut her, like, Heath Ledger Joker face. And it's odd. It's just a very sick visual, starting of this book. Adam Glass, who wrote this, issue, artist Fernando Dagnino, did a great visualizing of Harley Quinn, of the Joker, of pretty much the Joker who was going to fuck Deadshot in this scene. So you guys joke about it, but it's true.
He was just dry humping the casket.
Yes. But he was actually going to kill everyone, and then Harley Quinn was like asking me, please don't, and he goes, well, I'll tell you what, I'll leave you alone if you do me a favor, which I guess then goes into Batman number 13. It says that in the little asterisk spot. Then the rest of this book kind of goes into the story of the other people, the Suicide Squad. And to be honest, I was lost. I don't really understand what's going on. I didn't understand anything of the story. The only thing I know about them is they're kind of like the Thunderbolts, where they're a group of bad guys that are on a mission to be good guys.
Well, no, this
guy's got tattoos like Dakin.
Basically what it is, because I started reading the series earlier, I was trying to find a DC title that I could like, because I wanted to have a little bit more robust catalog to what I read for our listeners at home. Suicide Squad is basically prisoners that have been like supervillain prisoners, and they go out on missions for the government to lessen their sentence.
Okay.
And if they die, they die. You know, so that's where the Suicide Squad goes.
Gotcha.
And one of the cool things I like about the idea of the Suicide Squad is that they actually do kill a lot of the main team members. It seems like, oh, that one's dead. Oh, that one's dead. You know, I mean, there were some twins. I can't remember their names.
There's no future in suicide.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We talked. Well, you weren't here last week when we talked about heaven, hell, and limbo for superheroes and supervillains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Tony, I'm sorry.
As kind of you just explained to me right now, I'm still kind of lost on the whole overall story arc of what's going on. That kind of happens in the middle of this book, and then it gets back to Harley, which then I'm like, sweet, I'm getting back onto this Death of the Family type story arc. And she pretty much comes back in this warehouse, and she's telling Mr. J that she accomplished the task, which then in the little asterisk thing says, as found out in Batman number 14. Then the Joker decides he isn't done with Harley yet, wraps a chain around her neck, pulls her in the air, choking her as the end credits start to roll.
Nice.
Like I said, I did not like or understand the Suicide Squad. I do like the concept of it, but I was lost on that story. However, this being part of the overall story that I've been reading of Joker coming back to the DC Universe, that point was, like, on point. It was awesome.
I got one. This is totally a side question. But is it just me, or when you guys read a comic and you see Harley in there and you see the Joker, am I the only one that hears, like, you know, the Mark Hamill Joker from the cartoon?
Yes.
Like, I don't hear any other voice. And when you hear, when you see, when you're reading Harley's stuff, all you hear is, "Hey, Mr. J!"
I always think of that, but now I don't think of Mark Hamill Joker anymore. It just... He seems too more creepy than the animated series cartoon show for me to picture.
So is there any voice in your head? I mean, are you thinking Heath Ledger?
I kind of am thinking of, like, that sticking the tongue out type.
God, I hope that picks up
on the crazy mic. Thing. And this whole Death of the Family thing, I've been trying to follow it. I've been wanting to pick it up until I kind of Wikipedia'd. How many fucking books is in this thing?
Hey, Tony. Here's a cool thing. You don't have to Wikipedia. It's all listed on the back of the comic.
Awesome.
Maybe if you didn't bend your back corners.
Oh, yeah. He's still reading
it. But still, there's a shit ton of comics that I don't know if I'm going to be able to pick up all of them.
I'm only picking up Batman. Just Batman alone. I'm not.
And I don't think I'm going to pick up any more Suicide Squad, except for I'm liking the Harley Quinn part of this whole thing that I made just because... She's one of my favorite characters in the DC world.
I'll lend you my back issues on Suicide Squad, and you can take a look and see what you think. I kind of gave up after a while. Okay. So.
But overall, that part of the conflict was good. The other part was eh, but it was a good read.
Cool. I think that wraps it up for Off the Shelf. And just a reminder to our listeners, enter-comics.com. Go show them some love. So... Tony, where are we off to next?
We're off to Kevin's Long Box.
Kevin's Long Box?
Sure.
From before July.
Yeah. okay. It's a number one.
It's a number one?
I got a number one. Getting back on track of number ones.
All right.
So, do you guys know the question?
I know of questions.
I know the answer is 42.
Yeah, the answer is
42. I'm actually talking about the book. The Question.
From DC,
from DC Comics.
Is this like one of those spiritual comic books?
No. This is actually...
Let's give credit where credit's due first.
Oh, okay. O'Neill Cowan Magnar. I mean, I want to see if I can find it first. Dennis O'Neill, writer.
Okay.
Denny's Cowan, penciler, and Rick Magnar, inker.
Okay.
So, I don't know if the guys are still around at all, but this is from the mid-late 80s.
Let's see here.
Now,
86.
I pulled this out of my long box, and to be honest with you, before this morning, I'd never read this. This is one of the books that I just... Because I was organizing all my books this week. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So I threw it to the side, and I opened it up, and I started reading it. Because I had questions.
Yeah.
So the story is pretty simple. You have an investigative reporter who has an alter ego who is the Question.
Like the Shadow?
Like the
Phantom?
All the above.
The Rocketeer?
The Wolverine?
Like the Riddler?
Like the Thing?
The Joker?
The Batman?
I'm sorry.
And actually, he is sort of edgy like the Batman, but he doesn't really give a fuck if he kills somebody. But
does he question where they go after they die?
Yeah.
So he's more like the Punisher?
Well, so...
We've taken this book completely off track.
Okay, so he's just an investigative reporter, and he's trying to get his news scoops with the Question persona, and he just in this issue he gets himself into a hairy predicament, and then at the end he dies.
Oh, okay.
We'll go right to the end. Because He gets beat the shit up. He gets blown in the head, and then at the end of the last panel says, "End."
Okay.
I'm like, so this is just a number one, and that
does
was
it. End with a question mark?
Like, no, it's just end. Just end. Oh, so I'm like, period. What the hell? Because this is actually really well drawn. The story was very good, but it just had this weird weird ending. So from there, because I didn't have any other issues to read or did I know of, so I actually did a little research on this, and apparently the question was originally done the character The Question was originally made in the 60s, and then DC acquired the rights to The Question from whatever the Crescent Comics in the late 60s, where he just made random appearances in the Blue Beetle and a couple other B-line DC comics.
Sure.
Not until the 80s came around where they said, like, we got this property, let's pop him in his own series, and it ran for 36 issues.
And then obviously just the one shot where they kill him.
Well, actually, he turns out he didn't actually die.
Oh, I'm comic
like,
books.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently the person who beat him up actually, like, from what little I read about the series, is that she falls for him and she's like, "Oh, I'm going to scoop your dead body out of the ground here." Yeah, because he actually wasn't actually dead. He has a little bit of a life force left, and she tells him to tough it out and sleep it off.
She gave him a health potion and he was good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So he has a phoenix down.
I will say, just peeking at that, there's a lot of like Frank Miller Sin City look to some of those panels.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there is definitely some dark aspects to it. And I tell you, I was so into it, and then it ended, and I was happy I researched it, because I'll probably look up some back issues of this, because it was an intriguing enough character, and since no one's ever even heard of The Question, I'll probably get him on the cheap.
Nice.
So, but he has made some other random appearances in modern day DC stuff, bit pieces in 52,
in the new 52,
the new 52.
Oh no shit!
Yeah,
I'd heard people were really excited that The Question was going to be in the new 52, and I was like, okay, who's the exclamation point? Declarative.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the period. Although sometimes it's one of the best things you can ever hear. So,
moving on, let's head on down to the Indie Turnpike.
All right. Indie Turnpike, for those of you that are new to the show, is where we kind of give a little extra notice or a little bit extra, highlight to a book that's not necessarily one of the main two comic books. Tony's losing pieces to his action figures.
Deadpool's hand fell off.
Yeah, well, you're not getting it back
that
until after
a lot.
The show.
He'll grow it back, don't worry.
Yeah. No, pew. If you can't keep it, you can't have it.
He has a shooting hand for power?
No, it's just
it's an extra hand. Anyway, so this week for the Indie Turnpike, I'm going to talk about Saga number 7 from Image. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Fiona Staples. For those of you who are not reading this book, and I don't know why anyone isn't, I'm looking at all three of you right now, because I know you guys aren't reading this book, and you're fucking idiots for not.
Well, you call me an idiot all the time. So.
Yeah, I do.
What's the difference?
I do. The basic plot of the story is that there's been a war raging on for generations between the inhabitants and races of a planet and the moon that orbits it. There's a male soldier from the moon of Wreath and a female soldier from the planet of Landfall who have fallen in love, and they had an interspecies baby that they named Hazel. Now it kind of seems like everybody in the universe is after this baby Hazel and her parents. This book, I mean, honestly, it's just amazing. I've talked about it before. You guys don't seem to listen, but,
What was that?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of these books that it has so many elements that every fanboy and fangirl can get into. I mean, there's sci-fi, there's fantasy, There's sex. There's actually some pretty graphic sex in there. Wait, don't jump ahead, Kevin.
What, you told me there's sex.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Wait, don't show that yet.
Oh my
gosh. I wanted the shock value.
Sorry. I'm never going to touch your comics ever again. Sorry.
There's love.
Why were the pages stuck together?
Yeah. Those are Kevin's comics. Love, violence, horror, and I mean, honestly, ultimately, there's a lot of really good real emotion in these books. Vaughn and Staples have managed to weave such a beautiful story. I mean, it's a book that I don't even think twice about whether or not I'm picking it up when I go to the shop every month and I see it. Vaughn's genius. I mean, he's got such an original concept, but it's very relatable at the same time. I've never really read another comic or even a book or seen a movie that has some of the shit in here that he does. Fiona Staples, I don't even know what to say. I mean, her art, it's just beautiful. Great layouts, gorgeous and disturbingly realistic emotion from some of the characters and other things. I'm going to throw the warning, which if you would have held off, you would have had the warning first, Kevin. There's always at least one really disturbing image in these books. This issue happens to have this kind of ogre giant full frontal nude with his excessively low-hanging syphilitic-ridden balls. So, you know, there's something there. But this is a good issue for people to jump in on. If you haven't been reading, it gives you enough backstory in there. You might be a little bit lost, but jump in on it now. If you can find the first six issues, I mean, I know the number one, I think, has, I think, five printings already. So go pick up the first six issues. Two mugs up, hands down, for the whole series. Just go get it.
Question.
Yeah.
How do you hold your mugs up if your
hands are
down?
We already talked about the question.
Yeah. How do you hold your mugs up?
How do you hold your mugs up if your hands are down?
Well, it is hands down, then mugs up.
Okay.
That's the way we like to fuck.
What?
Isn't that a song?
Hey, do we got news? Any news?
Are you trying to keep this thing going, Matt?
I just want Kevin to quit looking at the page.
Dude,
I'm looking at the balls.
Like, does he sit on them like a beanbag chair?
They hang down past his
knees.
Watch
the South Park episode.
I guess my question is, why do all creatures in the universe have to have the anatomy of
you?
Of you.
All right, moving on to news and notes. The first thing that I want to talk about is No More X-Men.
But I just read an all-new one.
Well, yeah, but the actual X-Men series, just X-Men, not Uncanny, not all-new.
Not Legacy.
X-Men has been canceled by Marvel.
That didn't have a very long run, did it?
It's going to end, I think, with issue 41.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised.
Now, is this the one where the two people got married?
This is the one that sucked.
Okay.
That's all I know. Like,
well, there was marriage in it.
Like, you guys know how big of an X-Men fan I am, and even I'm not reading it. Although, I did read it last week when they had the Daredevil Domino crossover. That was a good issue, but it wasn't a team book, and I was fine with that, because whatever.
It wasn't a team book?
Team.
Oh.
It wasn't a team up. It was just...
Kevin, you should listen to the podcast when you're not here. They're educational.
Hey, man, I was on Bourbon Street all last week.
Yeah. So, Tony, keep going on X-Men getting canceled.
Oh, yeah, just that, you know, you pretty much said everything that is kind of out there. It hasn't had, as you said, you love X-Men and you don't pick it up, so it obviously hasn't had the big readership that they've wanted.
They're probably going to restart it with something else.
Well, they just have too many X-Men titles right now as it is. I think that to tell that many stories of the same cast kind of gets confusing in the same world.
Would you rather if they broke out and had, like, maybe say like an Angel and Storm, like just book where it's like Angel and Storm, it's just called that, or yeah, like rather than keep calling it an X-Men thing.
Well, with the X-Men, there are so many stories, there's so many characters that knowing who's on which team, I mean, we all know that Wolverine's mutant power isn't healing in adamantium claws, it's the fact that there's like 12 of him. And they all share the same thoughts and memories. And so he can be on 12 different teams.
And have, like, multiple titles.
Yeah.
Which leads, actually, we're going to tie this into another story.
But just to finish up that, like, you know, let us know which X-Men are being focused in these stories. And if they're going to be short runs anyways, might as well tell a really good story, but call it, like you said, Storm and Archangel. But yeah. Hopefully you'd pick, like, a better character than Storm.
Yeah, because nobody wants to read about Storm. That's a guaranteed
answer. Nightcrawler and Archangel.
Yeah.
Like, they could go around, like, door to door trying to evangelize to people.
Nice. Wolverine got teased with a new thing from Marvel. Like, they've been doing their teasers, their one-word thing.
I like the tease.
Yeah, schnicked. But he's already got Savage Wolverine, so what is this one going to be?
I'm ultimately thinking that it's throwing us for a loop, and it's not going to be Wolverine.
Going to be Daken or X-23?
Yeah.
I would love if X-23 came back out with her own title. I'm still pissed that they ended that. Oh, God. Tony, put your fucking toys away. Now he's got Silver Surfer. How many do you have down there?
Is that a ring?
Do you have a? Did you bring a toy box in here?
Yeah, just to kind of make you guys giggle and have fun.
So, Wolverine's got that going. Another little tidbit: Call of Duty Black Ops 2 just came out, or did it just come out?
Yeah.
I kind of quit playing the
game.
Yeah,
I stopped paying attention to the commercials because they kept on airing. Over and over. The first time I saw it, it was a pretty cool commercial.
Apparently, go Google this if you want to find out how to do it and see a video. I didn't even bother or watch the video. But you can go get Thor's hammer as an Easter egg in Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Can you actually... Are you worthy enough to pick it up?
Probably not. Oh. No, you probably have to prestige a few times first.
Okay.
You know, so... Tony, what else you got?
Okay, well, for Matt... What does this poster make you think of?
Tron.
Okay, no.
What if it started with
reboot?
What if it started with an all?
All zeros and ones.
No. What the first thing you said was what?
Tron.
Put an all in front of that.
All Tron.
Yeah. Yes.
They have a new teaser out with a bunch of binary zeros and ones out, which. Makes you think, okay, it's got to be something robotic, but what exactly is it? When you actually run it through...
binomial code?
Yes, you get the phrase Age of Ultron comes out of it, which also says March 2013, and it says AU, which also could stand for Age of Ultron. So obviously this is a teaser for the next
big thing.
Could
stand for Alternate Universe.
Of robots? Robot X-Men?
Yeah.
X-Men babies and... No, this is something that I'm seriously happy about. They've teased it for the past couple of years in the Avengers.
For several years now.
We've talked about it numerous times of when this big event's going to happen. And Ultron's been gone for quite a while.
Well, he was in space.
Yeah.
In a conquest where he took over.
But he hasn't done anything with the Avengers in a while. And he is their greatest, you know.
Arguably, he's their greatest
enemy. Villain. So, that's something sweet that's coming down the...
Yay!
The pipe works now.
Yeah, but I kind of knew
down
about
down the
that.
Pipeline. It's not down the pipe works. I don't know where you get this from.
Because pipes work somewhere. Fuck you guys.
You said it, I think it was last week, and I'm like, the fuck is down the pipe works? And Nick's like, that's a phrase? And I'm like, what?
I'm going to Google it right now while we talk about the next thing.
Coming down the pipe works.
It's okay. Tony is not the sharpest crayon in the box.
Yeah. No, not at all. This one, you know, I bring this up. The Dark Knight Rises is apparently getting a big Oscar push.
Why?
That's what I want to know.
I would say the Dark Knight.
Yes.
I like that one.
Yes.
And I thought that one was very well done, put together. And they did win an Oscar for it, for Heath Ledger's role in it. But... This one I did not feel lived up to the expectations and hype.
It was a snooze fest. Although, I mean, I guess maybe that...
Because you slept through it.
It was fucking boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible, but I just don't see the point. And yes, I love the Batman movies, but there were so many fucking plot holes in this thing.
The silver lining might be, though, that maybe superhero films in the future will be given some... respect from the Academy, that they might not be the, hey, we're making a movie about Lincoln because that's going to win every award this year. But, you know, we're still making a good movie that's telling a good story.
You know, if anything, Avengers should get a bigger push than Dark
I would
Knight.
Think.
Yeah, but Avengers was an entertaining movie. I think the big difference is that there's movies and there's films. And films are what win Academy Awards. Movies make lots and lots of money.
Well, this was... only one of the two.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And it's already made the money.
Yeah.
So.
I doubt that it'll go anywhere, but.
Well, a big thing from DC Comics coming out right now is they are coming out with not one, not two, not three,
not four. Oh, just jump to 52.
52 variant covers.
Wait, can today's show be brought to you by the number 52 instead of the number?
No.
One.
Because they're all going to be the same fucking cover.
It's only going to be one cover one with cover. Different flags in
yes,
the background.
One for each state.
And two territories?
DC and I think Puerto Rico.
Probably Puerto Rico. Too bad, Guam, you didn't make the list this year.
But seriously, they're not going to be even incentives for people to go out collecting. Any retailer can order any of the covers.
Yeah, the little write-up on the gutters that Moss talked about it, he says, you know, I can understand that if, like, in each state you would only get your state's flag.
Yeah.
And that way collectors had to actually go around and make connections in other states. If they wanted to collect all 52 of them, they'd have to go make those connections. But if all you're going to do is let everyone get all of them, then it just seems really lame.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a fan of variant covers to some degree, and I'm a sucker for them, and I hate the fact that they do them all at the same time because, mm-hmm. you know, now it's like, I mean, I bought the regular issue of all new X-Men. I passed up a 1 in 100. I passed up a 1 in 150, but I didn't want to spend 30 or 50 bucks for a single issue on a book that I'm like, I don't know how well this is going to be received.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but they cost so much when they come out the door that then they go down. They don't stay that price at 30 bucks for those variant covers.
Some of them do.
But a lot of them haven't.
But it depends on the art. And if each one of these 52 covers was done by a different artist, you would have those really rare collectors. Oh, this one was Stan Lee made this for DC. What?
Dude, if Stan Lee drew anything, I would love to see it. Because
yeah.
I don't think he's ever drawn anything.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you had like the big names and famous artists, each of them doing a different cover, I can totally see the collectability for it and the awesomeness of it.
Especially if you could find one artist from each state. And or...
Amen.
Yes.
That would be awesome. But to just say, hey, we've got this one basic cover and we're just going to Photoshop in and swap out some backgrounds and do digital, you know, it's just one guy sitting at a computer. And to me, that doesn't seem really cool.
Well, they made a great point on the gutters, though. That I mean, like, are we now harking back to that nightmare of a time that we all lived through called the 90s?
The 90s were pretty cool.
With 13 covers of yeah. Gen 13, number 13, yeah. And, yeah. you know, I mean, how many covers of this and how many covers?
Thing is, though, back in the day, though, they didn't charge you up the ass for some of those variant covers, though.
Well, no, they didn't, but it was because, you know, they charged more for some
there was,
of them.
There was a couple bucks more, but, I mean,
they weren't $30, $40.
Yeah,
well, that's just ridiculous.
Well, see, here's the difference, though. Back in the day, though, there were 13 covers, and they were each released with an even distribution, whereas now you get the variant covers. Like, I mean, I bought the 1 in 50 X-Men Legacy number 1. I paid $7.99 for it, and you know there are some retailers that don't charge more for it. I don't mind spending more for some of them, you know. But it's knowing that it's 1 in 50. That's why it's more, because they actually had to order 50 regular issues to get this one. So. It's more rare. You know, it's kind of like Twinkies. You know, people are charging more for Twinkies now because yes. They're limited inventory. Make sure you buy two, one to eat and one to keep in the package.
Okay.
And so, you know, but the variant covers, it does piss me off a little bit, but I fall prey to it myself. You know, but this, when there's fucking 52 of them, fuck off. Yeah, so.
You know what, though? Someone needs to remind DC that there's more than 52 weeks in a year. There's 52 weeks in a day in a year. And that point decimal point keeps getting lost in the new 52. And I'm just saying that. That's math for you.
Well,
if it's a leap year, you got 2 days in there.
Yeah.
So
what
two sevenths.
What they need to do, Matt, is since it's like 0.1, it's not really 0.1, but they should make a variant that is 1/10 the size of a regular comic.
If you're listening, DC, just send me one for free.
Yeah.
You can steal that one. Take it to the bank with you.
Speaking of rarity in comics, last week A Walking Dead number one, CGC graded, which we won't get me started on the CGC because I think it's fucking bullshit.
Ooh, what is this?
It's just a grading system. Like, you know how we look at it and says, yeah, that comic book looks like a Schlitz. The CGC would be like, oh, that one looks like a very fine wine.
Yeah, they go through it, and it's a scale of, like, 0 to 10. I've never seen a 10, but there's a Walking Dead 9.9, number one, which that first print of that book was only limited to, like, 7,400 copies. Sold on eBay for just over $10,000.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Wish I had one.
Yeah, so you want to talk rarity, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to make something that's more rare that people are going to collect, do smaller first prints. And then do a second printing, comes out 2 weeks later, after the big hoopla, rather than making fucking, you know, retailers buy 1,000 of them so they can get that special one.
When I was in the comic book store, I heard the, overheard the guys working there complaining about the collector's market. And saying that, well, the problem is that they make all these variant covers, and then everyone goes out and buys all the different variant covers, which then has Marvel or someone do a second printing of them. And when they do a second printing of them, now there's a lot more of them out there. And so it just continues to, like, drive. They're part of the problem of driving the prices down because they buy them all up.
Yeah.
So.
You guys, I got a random question for you.
Is it about the question?
Yes.
Is this the question?
Yes.
What is it?
Who is the question? No, so just thinking about, like, okay, you got supervillains, you got superheroes. Obviously, superheroes are drawn to the spots where they're supervillains, but do superheroes draw supervillains into their city? I mean, why would not supervillains decide to stop staying in New York and maybe...
Go to Omaha, Nebraska?
Yes.
Because it's Omaha, Nebraska is close to Bronx and Oklahoma.
Well... There are certain supervillains, though, that are just up for the challenge. I mean, look at the Joker. I mean, perfect example. I mean, yeah. I've seen the Joker many times where...
Yeah, but we're talking about, like, the bank robber guys. Like, the Wrecking Crew. All they want to do is rob some banks.
Yeah, why not fucking go to...
Because they're lazy?
Some other city that has no superheroes. I mean, it seems like supervillains go to the towns that their superheroes in.
Well, here's a better question for you. With all the supervillains and crimes that are in those bigger cities, why don't the people that can afford to get out of the crime-ridden cities, why don't they go to Omaha?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's got to be something good in that town. Tony, I mean, that's all I can say.
Mind control.
Mind bullets.
No, that's an interesting question, and I think the real answer is, Tony, is because these are fictional characters, and without the superheroes and supervillains, you don't really have a story. So you need the conflict.
There should be no more supervillains. Well, Scarlet Witch say that. See what
no
happens.
More villains.
Yeah. Then
they'd be boring.
And then Marvel's marketing department disappears.
Then they do the Civil War again. They do the badass. Civil War again because...
Yeah, so one other question.
Interesting question, Tony.
Which I don't know if you guys want to talk about this or not, but...
Nope.
Moving on!
Okay, speak your mind. What
now,
is
this
it?
This is a quick one. I saw, apparently, Carrie Fisher went on, I think it was...
The Talk.
The Talk, yeah. And
is that The View?
No, it's The Talk. It's The Talk. The View is what you see. The Talk is what you hear.
Mind blown.
Yeah. And
is that, is that the one that Daredevil listens to?
Well, he doesn't watch The View.
I was just going to say, you know, if The View is what you watch, I don't think that there's very much to see.
Well, there's not a whole lot to hear on The Talk either.
Okay.
But Carrie Fisher said she wants Princess Leia to kill Han Solo in the new movies.
Princess Leia kills him?
Yeah.
Why should Leia kill Han? I can understand, well, Han should die, okay.
From what I heard, and it was in passing, so I can't really say, but something about, like, one of the two is cheating on the other. And that's how she thought it would be a good idea. But then
so
again,
she was serious about this?
Well, I don't know. She's done a lot of drugs in her life. So it's just kind of interesting that, like, all of a sudden, now you... And I saw something that Lando wants to come back in the next one.
Well, they all Billy want, D. They Williams. They all want a piece of the pie, sure.
Oh, God, what the hell's his name that played Boba Fett?
I don't know, because you never see him or hear him.
Jeremy
Bullock. Yeah. Yes. He wants to have his character somehow make it out of the Sarlacc pit and come back.
He does in the comics, or in the stories.
Well,
he does.
That's not canon.
Yeah, that's pretty canon.
So,
Rosie O'Donnell wants to come back as
the Sarlacc Pit? All right, so...
Wait, is Pope Benedict going to be cast as the new Emperor Palpatine?
Only if he gets to wear the funny hat.
Yes!
Derek, how about you tell us, since we're done with news and notes and just rambling, what you have for booze in a book?
Booze in a book! Continuing on with your theme from off the shelf, Tony, I got Batman number 14 from DC, written by Scott Snyder, pencils by Greg Capullo, and inks by Jonathan Glapion. I am pairing this with a Newcastle Brown Ale. Which I was surprised to find out for as many years as I've drank it, it's manufactured by Heineken.
Yeah, they probably
won't. I didn't know this. But it is produced in their John Smith's Brewery in Tadcaster, North Yorkshire. And for anybody that's interested, Newcastle has a 4.7 alcohol by volume. And I figured since I finally decided to put a DC book on my pole, I decided it's time to make it official and pair it with one of my good old-fashioned standbys that I've had for a long time. Now, both the beer and the book are dark and may seem a little bit intimidating if you've never drank or read either of them, but I can assure you, go grab one, grab a beer, grab the book, jump right in. I promise you're going to be asking for another round after you're done with both. So that's it for Booze and a Book.
Yay!
Boy, I haven't had a Newcastle in a long time.
Yeah. Actually, that was thanks to a good friend of the show, Nick Francis, who you can find him on Twitter. I think it's at Nick Francis. Did a gorgeous commission for me. Great artist, up and comer. I guarantee you guys are going to be seeing him in print here sooner rather than later. Go check him out. But he brought up the Newcastle thing to me the other day, and I was like, oh, that is perfect pairing. So, last call. Any other books that you guys read that you really wanted to give a shout-out to this week? I got a few.
Wolverine and the X-Men, even though the art wasn't good, the story was kind of decent. Venom, number 27. Fantastic Four, number 1.
That do it for you?
And yours? I did enjoy X-Men Legacy number 1.
You know, I did too. That was in mine. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number 4, best art I've seen in this series so far. Good story. Teal is half naked through the whole thing, which is fantastic. Fanboys versus Zombies number 8, one of my favorite comics. I fucking love this book. Everybody should go read this. Walking Dead 104. Awesome. Amazing Spider-Man number 697, continuing on with the final story arc in the Amazing Spider-Man line before it goes to Superior.
And listeners,
wait,
shout out.
Oh.
I did read an Avengers book this week.
Okay. And you didn't talk about it?
I'll talk about it later, though, because I think it's all new. I think the new Avengers are finishing up next week. They've really cranked these out, the End Times one, so Bendis can finish up these stories and work on something else. But art wasn't spectacular, but I'll talk about that later.
And then Superman Family Adventures. I picked up another issue.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, number 6. It's just adorable, fun. I can't wait to give it to my nephews.
That's nice. The first time adorable has ever been on this podcast.
Yeah. It's fun, it's humorous. It makes me laugh.
Nice.
One thing I want to tell listeners for last call, this being kind of a newer segment of just us spouting out some other good books we've read, we are going to have a section on our website. Just look at the links at the top, last call, where we are going to have a quick
overview.
Yeah, of the books and our thoughts on them to get a little more than just we read this and it was sweet. We'll kind of give you a little bit to see why we thought they were great and why we needed to mention them. So make sure to go to the website and check that out.
And if we're not talking about books that you guys think we really need to be talking about, send us suggestions. Well, I mean, we're open to it. I mean, especially me. I love going and picking up new shit.
Well, I also love hearing from the listeners. Definitely get a hold of us, emailing us.
Facebook. Derek will do just about anything you say, so you should tell Derek that he should buy his beer.
Twitter, and I would like
to... No. Yeah, Twitter, we're at Drunk on Comics. Facebook is facebook.com/drunkoncomics. Obviously, drunkoncomics.com.
Is that drunkoncomics.com?
Drunkoncomics.com. And drunkoncomics@gmail.com. Lots of ways you can get a hold of us. Or you can call Tony at 867-5309. So.
It's funny that those first two number digits are part of my number. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
All right, guys, we are going to be making some updates. Also, by the way, if you haven't seen them, we've got a couple interviews that went up on Thursday. Check those out. We've got at least two more rounds of interviews coming up.
Yep.
So keep an eye out for those. Check out our artist alley, all the great artists on there. We're hopefully going to be adding a few more up there. And thanks one more time to Intercomics for being our newest sponsor. I think that pretty much does it.
That does it for me.
All right. Say goodbye, fellas.
One goodbye.
Tony?
Bam, bam.
Bam. Pew, pew. Yeah. All right, guys. I'm Derek on behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics. Keep reading those comics, and we'll be back again next week to talk about them then. See ya.
Goodbye.
What?
Baby, the brothers, animals out of babies will soon become men. Women will find that we lost or behind them, but that is not now. That will be then. That is not now. That will be then. Mary, Mary, are you in love with him? Is he the one? Mary, Mary, run from the moon and escape to the sun. Father and daughter and mother and son.